The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Patrick Powers of KIIC Albia and Jake Bourgeois of Anamosa Journal Eureka. Patrick, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Thank you, Senator Grassley. Good morning. There's a group in Iowa called Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement. They're upset with the U.S. EPA for taking 6 years before stepping up and looking into getting the water and streams here in Iowa regulated and cleaned up from the CAFOs, confinement buildings, which pigs, as the watchdog there in Washington, D.C. At what point do you step in and tell Iowans that they need to do a better job of protecting Iowa's rivers and their streams?
Well, before I answer that question, and there's probably a pretty short answer to that question, I don't think it gives credit to all of the efforts that have been taken, both from because of government action and because of voluntary action, to clean up the waters now compared to where they were 25 years ago. And you hear about projects involving the Cedar Valley in the Cedar Rapids and upstream from that quite a bit. You hear about efforts from Fort Dodge down to Des Moines in regard to the raccoon and the Des Moines River as well. And I don't know how many other projects like that occasionally come up, of efforts of city people, environmentalists, Department of Natural Resources, and the family farmers cooperating to accomplish that goal. And I think that that needs to be talked about more often, and would negate some of the criticism that your question implies. We do have federal laws, but the EPA has agreements with each of the individual states. And I'm going to end with this illustration that goes back to the Obama administration. But we had at that time it was a woman director of EPA, came to the state fair. And this subject was the basis for a seminar she held at the state fair with farmers, environmentalists, and landowners, and city people. And it was described to her what Iowans were doing to clean up the land. And she said at that time, it sounds like a perfect example that ought to work and ought to be used in other states. And that's the best evidence I can give you that the EPA thinks that Iowa was starting, now that's 10 years ago, down the right road. And I think you're seeing good examples of that. Let's go back to Anamosa.
Senator, what is your reaction on the sort of the ongoing negotiations with Mexico about those proposed corn tariffs?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that question. And it's a very pertinent one, being Iowa the number one corn-producing state in the nation, and Mexico being our number one market. Now, background, this goes back to December 2020, when the president of Mexico first signaled that he's going to keep GMO corn out of Mexico. And then there was, starting in the Trump administration, then going on through the Biden administration until now, there were all these informal talks going on that got nowhere. And during all those periods of time, I was advocating that we institute the dispute settlement process within the United States-Mexico-Canadian Trade Agreement. And just now, well, maybe this started 2 or 3 months ago, and now the second step has taken place. And they're finally using this dispute settlement process. But I guess at this point, the answer to your question is we're just going to have to let this process play out. But there is some time limitations, so it shouldn't continue to play out with no answer for months and years at a time. Back to the next person.
Thank you, Senator. My second question, Prop 12 has now been challenged on the Supreme Court level. Seems like a lot of effort now is being done to get around this California law. How confident are you to get this reversed, or at least not allow other states to dictate what your state does with its livestock?
I've joined Senator Marshall of Kansas, and so is Ernst and a lot of other senators in an effort to institute and use the constitutional power of Congress to regulate interstate and foreign commerce. And if we pass the Marshall Bill, which goes by the acronym of EATS, E-A-T-S, it would negate the California Proposition 12. So Iowans, the number one pork-producing state in the nation, could continue to sell pork to California. That is 13% of the national market. We hope to get that in the Farm Bill. Back to Anamosa.
Just building on that, what is the latest on the Farm Bill?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a process answer and then a couple parts of it that your farmer readers would be interested in. First of all, since the Democrats control the Senate, I think if I give you the words of Senator Schumer, number one, he put out a list of bills between now and the end of the year wants to get passed, and the Farm Bill is one of them. The other one is a conversation I had with Senator Stabenow, the chairman of the committee, and I asked this question of her: would we have to pass a one-year extension of the existing Farm Bill, which is occasionally done when we don't get a new Farm Bill, five-year Farm Bill passed? And she said she didn't think so. So just quoting those two Democrat leaders, they're the ones that are going to determine if a bill gets brought up and they think it's going to be brought up. I'm very positive about it. Now, some other Republican legislators have been less positive about it. So, you know, there's other opinions out there other than Chuck Grassley. Within the bill, the one thing that I've heard mostly over the last 2 years that farmers want us to leave alone is the crop insurance bill. And I'm sure that the crop insurance bill, or the part of the Farm Bill that is crop insurance, will be not touched in the rewrite. Back to the other person.
Thank you, Senator. Just this week, health care, prescription drug prices, the Biden administration stepped in and lowered prices for certain drugs. If I'm not mistaken, you talked about letting the market play it out. Why is the feeling of not letting the government control the price to have lower prescription drugs detrimental?
Okay. First of all, prescription drug prices are too high. And if I had time during this interview to go through three or four things that I'm doing to help get drug prices down, I would do that. But so drug prices are too high, and I'm taking some actions to get them down. But in regard to the Democrats' administration negotiating drug prices, government doesn't negotiate. Government dictates. And when government's going to dictate prices lower than what the marketplace would decide, then I think it's going to have an impact on the capability of drug companies to have the resources to develop miracle drugs. And we don't want a condition in the United States where we lead the world in the development of miracle drugs, that we're not going to have the next generation of miracle drugs to attack this health problem or that health problem. And that's what I fear with the government dictating prices. Back to Anamosa, and this will be the last question.
Last week was a busy week, sort of in the start of the, well, not the start, but just the campaign process, with the first debate being held and then the former president being indicted in Georgia. What was your takeaway of sort of the last week and what that sort of means for the primary process?
Two answers to your question. One would be Trump's indictments. There's nothing we can do about what Trump has done, or there's nothing we can do about what the administrative branch of government's doing. We've got to let the judicial process play out to its end. But I'm hearing from Iowans that they're disgusted with the unequal application of the law. One way Democrats are not prosecuted, and another way Republicans are prosecuted. And that's just very irritating to Iowans. On the second part, in regard to what's developing in the process of Republicans choosing the next nominee and the debate and all that stuff, I don't think the debate moved very many needles for anybody. And in Iowa, the State Central Committee, the state chairman, Governor Reynolds, Senator Ernst, Senator Grassley, I think most of our congressmen, Congress members, are going to stay out of it because we want to emphasize Iowa being first in the nation. And we think if we would back certain candidates, it might keep other candidates from campaigning in Iowa. And we don't want that to happen. So we're being neutral in the process going on in Iowa. And we hope that the Democrats will change their mind for 2028, and the National Democrats will let the Iowa Democrats be first in the nation in 2028 for caucus state. Thank you both very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Patrick and Jake, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.